for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon, December 28th, Ladies 115 meeting. Louise Pemble is the speaker of the afternoon, sharing on her testimony.
Lord, we just thank you that you are Lord. And Lord, there's not anything too hard for you. And Lord, there's not one lady here that has any kind of a need, Lord, that Jesus can't meet. So we just thank you for that, Lord. Just speak to our hearts, Lord, and open up our hearts or any way that you would speak to us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. This came as a shock to me that when Brother Glenn announced Thursday I was going to do one of the ladies' meetings. And so when I asked the Lord, you know, well, what in the world, you know? And the scripture he gave me, every one of them is used. We're going to have it anyway because that's the one he gave me. Okay? And it's Galatians, which you know it by heart. Galatians the fifth chapter. Okay, starting at let's see, 17. Okay. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That was the scripture that he gave me, and almost every one has used either part of it or the whole thing, and Jerry used it twice yesterday. So here we are today. There are some things that I think that God wanted me to share with you, just different things. And I can't give you anything that I don't have. I can tell you about it. I taught Sunday school a lot of years in the church, Methodist church, telling about Jesus, but I didn't know him. What they're talking about, the relationships today, you know. And it's different knowing about Jesus and knowing him. And so this is sort of on the testimony, and those of y'all that know my testimony, I believe you want to, or else you're in the cheering section, okay? Whatever. Okay. Well, I was not raised in churches. My folks didn't attend church. I didn't know anything about much of anything. But when my son was about 3 years old, we had a tornado. And it was blowing against the house real hard, about to buckle in the door. And my husband and I and the little boy behind us, we were holding this door to keep it from blowing in for some reason. I don't know what it would have done if it had blown in. But anyway, that's what we were doing. And I tried to bribe God. I didn't know he was real or up there or anything. You know, as a child, you have an awareness of spiritual things. But somewhere along the way, you lose this, or I did, you know. So anyhow, I thought the worst thing I could think of I did was drink beer. Well, Lord, if you won't let us be killed, I won't ever drink any more beer. You know, these vows we made. Okay? And the peace of God came down. That wind quit. That door quit. It just took you... just a shock, because it was so sudden. And I didn't know what it was then. I was 21 years old, and I didn't realize anything about God, so I didn't know it was His anointing came over me, you know, His presence. And I walked like my feet was this high off the ground about 3 days. And I'd go out in the flower bed to dig in by myself where I wouldn't speak out what He was pouring over and over and over in me. It was like big sermons, and I didn't know sermons. And I thought, well, what's He want me to do, you know? Maybe go stand on the street corner or something. And so anyway, I didn't yield to this because I didn't really know how, but I did reject it, see. So it began to live, and I grieved about this. His presence began to live. So I did what you did to find God. I went to church. Okay. So I was in church for a good many years. And when I got born again, I joined the church. I did everything you're supposed to do. But I still didn't find His presence. But when I got born again, I had been reading some occult books, and I was at this time I was teaching an adult Sunday school class. I was telling them about Jesus. And I was reading these Edgar Cayce and Gene Dixon. Y'all may remember some of this way back there. And if you remember, they were into reincarnation, which means that if you die, if you don't get it right this time, you got to come back and go through a harder thing till you get it right. Okay. And so my life was such a mess. And I don't know if you know somebody, this testimony, if it's not where you are today or haven't been, there will be somebody the Lord will send across your path that is somewhere in this. Because it's human nature, you know. Well, anyway, my mind was so messed up. And it was just utter confusion. Yeah. And I was so depressed. And I was at the point of suicide. See? In fact, I had everything to live for, but I didn't think so. See? God give us a good life. But see, I didn't have it. I didn't know it. I didn't know what He had available for. Well, anyway, I was in my living room, down on the floor, kneeling, crying over a stool I had there laying on. And I was at the point of suicide. And so I began to think about this, you know. Because I really was serious about this. And I thought, well now, the Bible says if you die, if you commit suicide, you go to hell. Okay. And then it says, this reincarnation said, if you don't get it right, you got to come back where it's worse. That was hell. What I was living in my mind, was hell. See, there wasn't any way out. You think you're at the bottom of your rope sometimes, but there's a lower place. And I was at the lower place. There was absolutely no way out. And out of my mouth, I said, well, God, I've made such a mess of my life. It's no good to me. It's no good to anybody else. But if you want it, you know, if you can do anything with it, you can have it. And His peace came down on me. It just literally came down on me. And it was like, well, here. And it covered me. And see, in my life, I had never experienced the peace of God other than that first experience, you know. And that was something temporary. This was something for all time. This was all time. Because that day what I did, I yielded up to Him. And I, from that time on, I didn't belong to me. I mean, I belonged to Him. I gave up that life. Now we have to walk it out. Because we think we still control sometimes, but we really don't. We're just trying to do it. But I have never doubted being born again of the Spirit of God. There's no way I could doubt what He did, because I don't belong to Him, to me anymore. I belong to Him. And if you haven't been born again, you'll meet somebody who's not. And there's a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing Him. But anyway, I'm telling you this for some reasons of other things I'm just going to tell you. But they didn't seem to notice my Sunday school class that I was different. And here I was so totally different. But they didn't seem to notice. They'd come and they'd sit, about this many people. And some of them didn't even stay for church, but they'd come and sit, you know. They wouldn't take part, but they'd sit. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with my witness? And so then what's wrong with a witness? I need the baptism in the Holy Ghost to be the witness for Jesus. So when the time came, I don't believe anybody ever really received the baptism in the Holy Ghost unless they've got a need. It's just my feelings on it. You have to need the direction of God in your life before you reach out for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I was having physical troubles. I was in the hospital. The doctor said, this is not physical now. You're going to have to take this medicine. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know. Well, if it wasn't physical, it must be spiritual. So I called him a spiritual lady I knew of her prayer group. And she came up and she said, well, Louise, have you ever been involved in the occult? I said, well, no. You know what the occult is? I didn't. And I was thinking, and I thought, so I said, well, what is the occult? And she said, oh, you know. Said, have you ever been to a fortune teller? Yeah. Have you ever done this, done that, done the other? Can some of you say some things? What the occult is? Horoscopes, I've done that. Ouija board, big thing, yeah. Yeah. Everything she named, and since then I found out some other things. I had done it all. I was open to the occult side of the spirit world through my family line. See, I didn't know this. But this, the occult, is controlled by the demons. And they control it here on earth. Not up yonder, but here. This occult stuff, you know. Well, I said, no, it didn't sound like anything I'd have anything to do with. And here I'd done it all. See, sometimes we don't know, you know. So anyway, when I did receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the two little sounds he gave me was, I thought, that couldn't be anything. And the spiritual lady, she said, oh, that's beautiful. I thought, she's just saying that because she likes me. But you know what? God confirmed it. They found out there was a tribe of Indians way back up in the hills somewhere in Mexico or South America. That was their language. You know, that was, those two little sounds is the name of their language, and I've never heard it. God is so good, He'll confirm to each one of us when we're asking what He's saying to us. He'll confirm it some way. But anyway, I had to renounce all that stuff before I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And then it did make a difference, a big difference in my life. And the doctor said, you're going to have to take this medicine the rest of your life. I said, I'm not taking that. And he said, no, you don't understand. You're going to have to take this the rest of your life. And I didn't tell him because I really liked him. I thought, yeah, you don't understand. I'm not taking that, and I never did take any more either. Because Jesus is the one who straightens up our minds. He does that, you know. This other stuff just covers it over, you know. But he really straightens it out. Well, some of the things I wanted to share with you, since this is the ladies' deliverance meeting, was the way I knew that demons was real. See, I was so open to the bad side of the spiritual realm, so many things felt normal to me. Like Richard was talking about this morning. Sometimes things seem normal to us, and they're not. You know, we don't know the difference. And I didn't know the difference. And when my son, after we moved, so he was 4 years old then, maybe. No, 4 years old. I nearly killed my son. He was right on my heels, and I turned around real quick, and I grabbed him by the throat, and I was choking him. And it was like I was out of my body over here. I was over here. This was here. I was over here. And I saw this going on. And I was horrified, you know. And I came and I, hugged him and told him I didn't mean it, and I loved him and everything. But I thought when anger or something would come up in me, because I'd never done anything like that before or since, but I thought it was me. It wasn't me. I was over here. God was showing me a demon, see, and I didn't know. But the thing receded. I don't know if y'all have experienced this or not, but I didn't experience anything like that at all for years after that. But there came a time when it tried to come back. Years and years later, and I was babysitting with some children. And here I began to experience this emotion. I thought, oh, you know. So I went to this friend that had come to the hospital and another friend with to the two of them, and I said, I have got a demon. They said, oh, no, you can't have that. I said, yes, I have. And I want y'all to pray for me. Well, this was the time that all the teaching in the Christian circles was a Christian cannot have a demon. Well, I never did believe it, because I had them, you know. And anyway, I didn't get rid of this thing. So they did. We sat at her kitchen table, and they prayed. And they said, well, did anything leave? And I said, yeah, I think it did. I think it went that way. And you know, I have never been troubled with that. I didn't know what to call it, because I didn't have any knowledge of anything. But I called it I said, I've got a demon of violence. And that's what we called it. And they cast it out. But see, sometimes we think things are us, and they're not us. There is the flesh that we read about, and it will let them come in. Now, I've found out in recent years that this one was probably a generational thing. I found out maybe the last 15 years or so that my grandmother, who I just wanted to live with, loved my grandmother, and in her younger years, she had manifested this toward her children. And my daddy, before he died, I found out that his daddy had manifested this to his children. See, it had come down through the family lines, and I was so accustomed to it, I thought it was me, until the Lord showed me. So sometimes the things we do, we need to find where they're coming from. They may not be us, you know. But I'm not going to do all the talking. I'm going to let y'all talk in a little bit. But there was some other things I wanted to share with you, if I can think that they are. Great. I may have just lost them, but they'll come back. Yeah, that was it. Okay. You can tell because I was so good that me and my husband got along real good. Well, we didn't. You know, we didn't. We were both real immature, and here I had these demons, and he had some too. And of course, I figured he did, but anyhow. If he said black, I said white. If he said white, I said black. You know how that goes. It's nitpicking things that you stumble on. It's nitpicking things. It's not something big and major. You can get along on the big things. But the little things, you know. And so we had one of these. I went up to visit my friend, one of these that had prayed for me before, up at Pine Bluff. And I was sitting at her table, and I was telling her, meow, 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 with all my craps, you know. And she just looked at me. And by and by, she just kept looking at me. And it dawned on me, it was me, you know. The Holy Spirit shows you, it's you. Sometimes when somebody wants to talk, you just got to listen until the Holy Spirit says something to them. So anyhow, we talked about it and prayed, and the thing left. Well, I live in El Dorado. That's a good ways off from Pine Bluff. And when I got home, I walked in the house of the door, like there's the door down here around the end of the little snack bar, and around here's my little kitchen. And right here at the end of the cabinet in the kitchen stood this little, about this high, about that high. Maybe like that high to me. Okay. This little thing. And it was so glad to see me. It was welcoming me home. You know, a little puppy comes and just wags its tail. This was the emotion coming from this thing. It was welcoming me home. You know. And I took a step to start toward it because it was a friend who was welcoming me home. And my mind said, no, that's a demon. And my emotion said, that's a friend. And, you know, you'd want to go and comfort it, you know. But your mind says, no, that's a demon. And finally, I had to make up your mind to reject it, you know, because it was a demon. It didn't look like anything harmful. It didn't have an emotion like anything harmful. You know, it was just a cute little critter that was so friendly. But it was a demon. And what I got prayed for was to get relief from was a spirit of strife. a demon of strife. It's one of the works of the flesh. It comes in through this. Well, from that time on, my husband and I got along better. If something come up, I could keep my mouth shut. I didn't have to have the last word. That thing probably been with me all my life. I was always real strong-willed, you know, and everything. And it probably come in as a child. They say when they're little, sometimes maybe they came in as a child, when you were a child. And so I've probably been controlled by that thing all my life. But you don't have to have the last word. It takes two to argue, you know. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You don't even have to give a soft answer. The attitude of your heart's right, you know. You just do what God says. But that was the... That really shook me up, the little thing that's so friendly. We don't ever know, you know. And the way I knew that I had a demon of suicide, I'd always had a death wish as a child. And sometimes you think these wishes are you. Well, I just took it for granted that was me, you know. I was always suicidal, had a death wish. Never followed through anything, just that's what where I was. Well, the time came, I was riding in the car with my husband, and we had been crossways or something, because anyway, I was feeling real rejection. Going real fast down the highway, and the thing tried to throw me out the door. And I had to hold on to that door with all the strength that I had to keep it from coming open and me falling out, jumping out. And then I realized that wasn't me. All that time, all those years since I was a small child, that death wish wasn't me. And I didn't know it. It was the demon. So I got rid of that thing too. And it didn't have anywhere to come. Jesus gave us abundant life. And because God has set me so free, I just knew He could everybody else too. And He can. You know, He can. Because it's Him anyway. But my neighbor, after this, I was praying for her. And she had one. But at that time, she wasn't born again, but she got born again during this time. But anyway, I didn't realize when I was praying against that thing, I just thought, because I got rid of one, she could too. We'd just run it off, you know. And when that thing left, it was before it left. You think they can't do things to you visibly, but they can't. And that thing, I'd be out in the garden picking beans, and it would throw me over in the dirt, you know. And it didn't matter to me, you know, because I knew it had to leave. You know, the things it did didn't. I didn't have enough knowledge to be scared or anything, you know, about that. Okay. Well, I was sitting on my couch one day, and I guess I was praying for it probably, and the thing came, and it tried to choke me. And when, was it Jerry yesterday talking about choking? He was angry, choking, you know. And anyhow, I felt like a man's hands on my throat, and it was closing up everything, and I couldn't speak. But inside, I said, "Jesus," and it looked. And when it did, this thing left, and it went toward the middle of the room and out the door. And as it went, that whole room was filled with hate. If you've never experienced the hate of a demon, you don't know what hate is. I didn't know there was something so violent. Such hate. It hated me. Oh, it hated me. And that's the way they hate all of us. You know, they really do. That little tiny thing, it lives, they thrive on hate. That's all they know. See? Well, anyhow, as it went, what it said was, and when it went, the whole bunch went. And as I said, a whole bunch of them went. And I didn't know that. I thought I was just praying against one demon, you see. But it was a ruling demon over that community. And it said, "This is our hill. This has been our hill." And it was saying this as it went. It was going. Jesus run it off, see. But sometimes we don't know what we're doing, but if you hold on to Jesus, He does it anyway. You know, it's Him that does it all anyway. But there's so many different ways they can come and so many different ways that we think sometimes things are us, different things. But that's why I wanted to share some of these things with y'all. They may help somebody else if you've already been through them all. And not everybody goes through the same things because we're all different. Y'all got any more suggestions? They did pretty good. Well, but I wanted to ask you about the rest of this scripture then. How do you get the fruit of the Spirit? Linda came and brought me an orange. Isn't it pretty? Yesterday, was it that white, waxy, fragrant blossom that you can make this whole room smell? Was it yesterday? I don't know how long it takes to grow an orange, do y'all? But see, it grew. From the time it first bloomed out, it grew. And that's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's not like that. It's fruit. It grows. And it takes time. And the things I've been sharing with you covered a long period of years. And today is even longer. Because Tuesday, I was 79. Yeah, Tuesday wasn't. And I was so blessed. I mean, the Lord did so many special things. I just wouldn't believe it. That is just overwhelming. He's so good. And one special thing he did, some of y'all know Mary John Brock. Well, the other day she gave me a word. She said, Louise, the Lord is going to give you a soapbox, a big soapbox, and you climb up on it. And I thought, oh. And when Brother Glenn announced the other day, that's why I looked so shocked. So, thank God he's so good. But, did y'all ever smell the fragrance of Jesus? I was thinking about the orange blossom. Yeah, some of you have, hadn't you? You know, there's no smell like his smell when he walks down the road. You know, it's so sweet, but it's not a cloying, overpowering thing. There's nothing else like his fragrance. And that's what our lives are to be for him. Because the Holy Spirit's in us. And what is God? Love. He's love. And it's this fragrance that's to go out from our lives, you know. And that's what pleases him. It's not us or what we do or what we say or anything. It's the presence that he puts in us and lets flow out. You know. And that's how this fruit comes. It's not a snap of the fingers. It takes a long time to make it look that big and that pretty. So, I think we've got a lot of time left. Does somebody have something they want to share before we get in some smaller groups?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.